Well, Doug McDougan walked along the spit beach trying to keep his mind on what he was doing. It wasn't easy. Not only did Doug have very little mind to work with in the first place, but his life had sort of turned against him these last several months. As he shuffled down the tide line late Monday evening, looking for more material to work with, his fragile mental facilities were being overstressed, and it was making him tired. It wasn't looking for driftwood that was doing it. It was everything else. It all started back in November when the mysterious blue-haired lady from Anchorage started paying him money to do driftwood carvings that he'd always done for nothing and left to lay. Things got better, then things got weird, and Doug wasn't sure which was who or when was where anymore. At first, it was the best. The blue-haired lady gave him almost $1,000 right out of nowhere so she could put some of his whittling in her art gallery. He'd sunk that money into a winter's rent on a warm and dry sleazebag apartment and would have been pretty happy if it all quit there. But of course, it didn't. Soon enough, the woman returned for more carvings, left more money, and Doug started to get stuff lust. That led to a murderous spree of garage sales that satisfied some inner desire to own things, filled his apartment to the brim with somebody else's old stuff, and set Doug on the road to the American dream. Last February, the blue-haired lady featured him in a gala opening and reception at her gallery in Anchorage, and nothing has been the same since. The first thing that changed that Doug noticed was the blue-haired lady herself. When they'd first met outside of Doug's shack on the beach on that cold, rainy day, she seemed genuinely warm. Doug thought she might have even liked him, which was not an experience he'd had a whole lot of in his 30-odd years. After that, whenever she came down for more carvings, she was always glad to get whatever Doug had done, said nice things to him, left the cash, and got the heck out of the way. Even at her gallery in Anchorage, when he'd fell into the food table and dragged the president of the State Council on the Arts down with him, she'd passed it off as if Doug were the victim of the circumstance. Outside of Ruby McClay at the video store, Doug figured the lady from Anchorage as his best friend. Doug had few lines of reasoning to justify his figuring, only that she was always so nice to him. But lately it didn't feel so good when she came around. Ever since that messy business at her gallery, she'd been coming down more often. 5 pieces? She'd lean on her walking cane in Doug's kitchen, shaking her head, not exactly aggravated, but obviously not pleased. Doug, the demand for your work is phenomenal right now. They've tripled in value since the opening, and I'm still sold out constantly. You're going to have to do more. Now when she left him, there was an air of urgency that remained behind, like she'd hung up a room deodorizer with the scent of impatience. Doug knew that something felt different, but he gave it little thought even for him and continued to be fascinated by it all. Just the idea that this strange old woman would show up at his door one day, take a bunch of remodeled driftwood, and leave a pile of cash on his table. It still didn't make any sense. A year ago, he was living in a shack made of driftwood and visqueen, carving on things that floated up with the tides and mostly letting them float out again with the next. Now he was getting paid close to $200 a piece for them. The whole experience was as if somebody'd slipped him a Mickey. It felt pretty good, but he didn't have the faintest idea what was going on or what came next. The thing Doug noticed mostly happening next was that the money was piling up, and that just wouldn't do. Doug had never had more than 2 cents to rub together, and he wasn't about to change that now, no matter how much she paid him. Every time his benefactor would grace him with one of her visitations,